Blog Talk Radio.
And all access football exclusive.
Welcome to another edition of The End Zone. I'm your host, Bo Marchant, and we have a great lineup for you today on Tuesday's show. We have Tunde Ogun from Christopher Newport College, and he's going to be participating in the East Coast Bowl on November 28th, and that is a all-star game that comprises of Division I, II, and III guys, and out of 3,000 players, he was good enough to be selected to play in that game. He's going to be on the show. We're also going to have Kenny Franick, our fantasy guru man from Minnesota. And last but not least, as always, Justin Van Fulpen, our college football insider. And if you go to his site, NFLNextBlogspot.com, you'll be able to read his NFL rookie breakdown, and he's going to be discussing his choices on today's show. But I want to get into it. I want to get the interview with Tunde going for you guys. And like I said, this kid, he's about 6 foot 213. And he's finally done. He's ready to make the next step to the next level. And for you guys who aren't familiar with him, he's a guy who touched base in Cincinnati with the Bearcats a little bit, but that didn't work out. And he landed in Christopher Newport, a D3 school. And we're going to talk with Tunde.
Welcome to another edition of the NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight Show. And today we're joined with a familiar guy we've had on the show before, Tunde Ogun of Christopher Newport of the Captains. Tunde, I know you were a little banged up this season. It's probably not the year that you expected to have after, you know, this crazy season you had a year ago. Looking back at this year, though, what percentage would you say that you played? I know you had a partially torn meniscus. How much did that hamper you throughout the season?
Early on, you know, when it first happened, it was a big hindrance on me. You know, not so much the severity of the injury, but just after rehabbing it, you know, learning how to trust my knee again, you know, being a running back, you know, my knee's in that position, you know, so just really getting used to my cuts and my explosion and my burst. And it wasn't until probably, I would say, week 4 or 5 that I really get used to, you know, my knee again and comfortable with it.
Excellent. And, I mean, it didn't hold you back that much. I mean, obviously, you know, the numbers weren't there. Did that bother you going through the season? I mean, was that something, you know, it kind of was like a burden to you that you felt that you had to, you know, have your best year ever to keep the scouts and everybody, you know, on track with you?
Well, not necessarily, because, I mean, looking at it now, we had a different team. You know, on offense, we lost 3 key guys up front. You know, we had a lot of young guys in there. You know, it was really a completely different team. You know, honestly, you know, had I been 100%, you know, who's to say that the numbers would have been there? You know, I'm sure they would have been a little bit better, but would they have matched last year? I mean, only God knows. But, yeah, we were a little young up front. Our starting quarterback, he was out for the season game 3, and my starting fullback, he was out of the season game 6. So, I mean, it was a lot of key, you know, saying pieces that weren't there this year, you know, that really contributed to, you know what I'm saying, the slack in numbers.
Excellent. And right before we went on, I mean, obviously, you know, you played your last game last week, and now, you know, the plan is to play at that next level. Take us through your mindset right now. I mean, where are you at? You know, what's your next plan? I know I talked with your uncle. He's always got your back. He says you're going to be in some, you know, all-star games. Can you tell us what all-star games you're going to be participating in?
I've been invited to 2. The East Coast Bowl, which is being held in Petersburg, Virginia, on November 28th. That one's comprised of, I believe, Division I AA, Division II, and Division III guys. So I'm going to participate in that. And I've been invited to play in the D3 Senior Classic on December 5th out in Salem, Virginia. But I'm not too sure if I'm going to play in that one yet.
Okay.
With it being, a newer game or whatever, I'm not quite sure about it. But I'm definitely going to be participating in the East Coast Bowl.
Excellent. I mean, that's November 28th, so that's right after Thanksgiving. So are you going to be able to spend Thanksgiving with your family, or are you going to be out of town?
Yeah, I'll be in Petersburg. You know, we report, I think, that Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So, I mean, I'll be, you know, staying in Petersburg with them. But my family will be at the game, so it won't be too bad.
Excellent. So, I mean, are you excited? I mean, this is it. I mean, you've been building this towards this moment your whole life, starting to, you know, have this dream come true. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, what lies ahead for Tunde Ogun?
I'm definitely excited. You know, a lot of people ask me, do I feel bad about how this season went, or, you know, am I upset that, you know, the numbers didn't stack up the last year? To be completely honest with you, I'm not. You know, I'm really glad that, it's ending the way it is. You know, I've done pretty much everything that I could do at this level, you know, and I'm just really looking forward to just, you know, getting rehab, getting my knee back, you know what I'm saying, situated, and just training, you know, start getting ready and getting prepared for these pro days.
Excellent. I mean, is it hard to believe that your college career is over? I mean, did it go by that quick?
Not really. It's becoming kind of long for me, you know. A lot of ups and downs, you know, a lot of lessons learned. So I feel like it's the appropriate time.
That, you know, what's funny is I don't hear that too many times. Usually guys say, yeah, not too many times that guys kind of, you know, say, yeah, it took too long. But you're ready, man. I mean, like I said, what are you weighing in right now? I mean, I see you on the computer. I see the numbers around, what, like 6 foot, 218? I mean, is that what you're currently at?
Last night when I got home from the gym, I stepped on the scale. I was 213.8.
And you like playing?
The most accurate assessment.
And you like playing at that weight? I mean, you know.
Definitely.
I mean, you feel comfortable around 213, 210?
Yeah, 210 will probably be my ideal weight.
Oh, really? Okay. I wasn't sure if you wanted to get, you know, if you felt better, you know, at a higher weight, like 220 or something like that.
I mean, I could play it either, but I feel like going into these pro days, I want to be as lean, you know, and as quick and as fast as possible. So I think 210 will probably be the best fit.
Excellent. I mean, and I talked with your Uncle Irwin. I mean, he really has your back. I mean, you know, he's trying to get your name out there. I know we talk and he, you know, and everything. I mean, how did that come about where he kind of took that role and kind of, you know, has he always been like that with you, you know, kind of like you're, you know, looking out for you?
Well, definitely. You know, my uncle, he's been there through, like I said, all those ups and downs. You know, he's seen the how much work I put into it, how much effort, you know, saying the disappointments, been there for the joys, and he kind of just been kind of like a mentor, kind of like just like guiding the whole process, you know.
Excellent.
Because, I mean, this is the first, I'm pretty much the first person in my family for anything for like this to happen, and he's the only other person in the family that played on the college level. He played at Virginia State, so he kind of knew a little bit about it, and he kind of just kind of took me under his wing.
Excellent. And playing in the USA South, Tunde, is there any other players like that you played against or played with that we should kind of take note of? I mean, maybe they're not coming out this year, but they're guys we should keep an eye out on?
North Carolina Wesleyan has a hell of a DN. Leron Boykin, he's about 6'3", 290, and every bit of a man. he's a good, solid player.
Excellent. So, I mean, not to get off the football subject, but last week you guys had that, like, what, the nor'easter come in, the weather, and you guys still had practice, but they shut down the school. Is that right?
Yeah, yes, sir.
So, I mean, were you guys practicing in, like, a hurricane or what?
Yeah, we definitely, Thursday we went inside the gym and we practiced in there, so it wasn't too bad. But Friday, Coach K definitely had us out there in the storm, in the wind. Like, if you can play under these conditions, you can play under any conditions. So.
and obviously, I think you guys, you lost your last game that you played at Christopher
Newport? Yes, sir.
And what was that like? I mean, playing your last game in college, I mean.
It was a little, it left a sour taste in my mouth. You know, like, I felt like Coach K was holding me, like he was saving me. You know, he had me splitting my carries, and that didn't really go over too easy with me. You know, a lot after the game, the coach from the other team was like, why wasn't he playing you that much? You know, so it left a little bit of a bitter taste in my mouth. But at the same time, I was just happy to be out there, you know, staying with my teammates, you know, staying doing battle. And it was a good game. I mean, we ended up losing 10-9, so it was a close game down to the wire, you know.
Excellent. And when you mean saving you, I mean, you think he was looking out for your health to kind of, you know, keep you from not, you know, getting hurt?
I wish I knew.
Excellent. And we're speaking with Tunde Ogun from Christopher Newport. He's a running back, and if you guys aren't familiar with him, he's around 6 foot, 213, and very, very talented young man. He brings a lot to the table. He's going to be playing in the East Coast Bowl on November 28th, and like you said, that's comprised of Division 1, 2, and 3 players?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. And how did that come about? I mean, did your coaches, I mean, how do you get notified that you're going to be, you know, participating in a game like this?
Oh, they sent me an email, actually. And they were just like, you know, we had 3,000 players nominated, and we selected 70, and you made it, you know. It was really, really a, kind of like a blessing, like out of nowhere, you know. I wasn't too sure, honestly, about, you know, how many All-Star games or, you know, some games I was going to be invited to after this season. And then that and the D3 Senior Classic kind of came in back-to-back.
And off the top of my head, I remember now we talked over the summertime. You were in Cincinnati, correct?
Yes, sir.
With the Bearcats. And so, I mean, you were on the national radar. I just want people to get a feel for, you know, where you're coming from. You know, Tunde isn't a guy that just came out of nowhere. I mean, you were on the national radar for whatever reasons. You didn't play at Cincinnati, and you ended up at Christopher Newport. Like I said, well, you put in fantastic numbers, so the skill set's there. You and I think when we talked before, you were, you know, you did have scouts on hand, correct?
Yes, sir.
And how's that? Are you still in contact with any scouts or any teams still looking at you?
Yeah, definitely. And all of them, the last guy I talked to said that all representatives from all 32 NFL teams will be at the East Coast Bowl. So, you know, that'll be a platform for me to, you know what I'm saying, definitely go out there and show what I can do. The letters from the previous teams over the summer, they're all still there. So I don't feel like, you know what I mean? Again, those are professional analysts. So when they look at the film from this season, they'll clearly see, hey, you know, it was a different team. It wasn't like how it was last year. You know, last year was kind of like a spoiler. You know, it was kind of like I was kind of spoiled this year. Like I said, we were a little different up front. And they can see that, you know.
Excellent. So, what's it like getting a letter? Or, you know, just hypothetically, I'm just saying this team at random. But say the Indianapolis Colts, you know, send you a letter. I mean, what was that? What would the letter entail? What would a letter like that say? I mean, what does it, you know, what does it tell you? And I mean, after you read a letter like that from a professional team, I mean, what's your reaction to it?
Well, once I get over the shock and stop smiling, his parents, I usually read it, and they all pretty much say the same thing. You know, you've been placed as one of the top prospects out of Division III. You know, the ones that were early in the season were like, we just want to wish you good luck in your senior campaign. You know, just things like that. You know, nothing too specific, but they're all just kind of like letting you know that you're on their radar.
Excellent. And like I said, I mean, do you call anybody when you get a letter like that? Do you call your uncle? Do you call your family? I mean, because you're all excited?
I mean, well, I definitely tell my uncle. You know, I keep him up to speed on everything. But, I mean, it's not something that I run around and parade because at the end of the day, it's just a letter. You know, there's still so much I have to do between now and actually, you know what I'm saying, getting on a team that I try not to make too much of it. It's definitely a fulfilling feeling.
And Tunde, I mean, looking at this, I mean, obviously, I mean, we're talking with your uncle, you know, setting up this interview. I mean, I know talking with guys, I mean, you're about to enter probably the busiest next 6 months of your entire life. I think it's such a tailspin for you young men. Have you thought about anywhere where you're going to start training, like, in, you know, for maybe a combine or, like, pro day? I mean, have you thought about anything like that yet?
Well, I got a few places out in Virginia Beach, you know what I'm saying, that are offering me, you know what I'm saying, free places to come train and stuff like that. But right now, I'm just kind of, like I said, just trying to get, you know what I'm saying, as close to 100% as possible for the East Coast Bowl. And then, you know, there's the whole process of signing an agent and stuff like that. And once you get an agent, they're the ones that pretty much will get you on with those training facility and stuff like that. So, I mean, I really know where I'm going to be training for sure once I sign an agent and, you know, get all that stuff underway.
Excellent. Now, I'm going to ask you this right now, and then I assume that, you know, and I hope that we keep this up and we talk through the duration of this whole process with you. But how do you feel right now? You feel you're in great shape?
I feel good. You know, I've been, you know, going through so much this season. And again, my whole thing with deal with my knee wasn't necessarily, like I said, a bad thing. It taught me how to fight through an injury, play through it. I didn't miss a single game due to it, you know. So I feel good, honestly. You know, I feel like I'm at a point now where I just begin to build. You know, I don't feel like I'm digging myself out of a hole.
Yeah.
Get to a place where I can build, I feel like all I can do is move forward from there.
Excellent. And Tunde, the reason I bring that up is when I talk to these guys going through this process, when you get done, after you go through these, you know, these facilities and train, you're going to, I mean, everyone I talk to say they've never been in this type of shape. This is the best shape they've ever been in their whole life. So I pretty much assume I know you're probably cut up and ripped up and ready to roll, but I can't wait to talk to you like 5 months from now, and you're like, I've never felt like this before. And I'm excited to see what weight they put you at. You know, are they going to have you like 208, 216, you know, and I, you know, like I said, because everybody I talk to, you know, they, you know, they get the agent and they, you know, they go to these facilities and, you know, like Ian Johnson from Boise State, they wanted him to gain weight. You know, he went from, gosh, I think like a, you know, a 202 to a 213 or something crazy, but it was all muscle. And, you know, he just kept talking about how, you know, how good he felt. But like I said, it's a long process, but hopefully it's an enjoyable process. And, you know, you, and, like I said, the East Coast Bowl, that's a great achievement. It's definitely a good showcase for a guy like yourself to showcase the skills that you have. And for you folks out there, we're talking with Tunde Ogun, Christopher Newport, captain, running back. And Tunde, is there anything else you want to share with us before we let you go today?
Honestly, I think we covered it all.
So, like I said,
guys out there anywhere near Petersburg and want to come out and watch the game on the 28th.
Excellent, yeah.
Yeah.
And a little fun, I mean, what's your favorite thing to have on Thanksgiving? What's your favorite thing to, you know, turkey, ham?
Nah. It's all about those sweet potatoes.
Sweet potatoes, there you go. You know, you'd be surprised. I get a different answer. I did the Pitt-Notre Dame game Saturday, and I asked some of the guys after the game just for fun when I was writing the piece. And, yeah, I got very few turkeys. I got ham, I got one turkey, I got macaroni and cheese, so...
Yeah,
but, well, Tunde, like I said, wish you the best, and after, why don't we say we look to touch base after the East Coast Bowl game, and for you folks out there, it's the East Coast Bowl game, November 28th in St. Petersburg, and Tunde Ogun, he's going to be playing in it, and like I said, we're going to be keeping our eye on you and wishing you the best through this process, man.
All right, appreciate it, both. Thanks.
Yep, have a great day, man.
And that's Tunde Ogun, Christopher Newport running back. And like I said, he's going to be playing in the East Coast Bowl game November 28th. Standout kid, had 1,700 yards. He has NFL scouts looking at him. He's a big prospect. Like I said, some things didn't work out, so he ended up at a D3 school. But he's a guy who's going to be there, a guy to keep your eye on if you're one of these college, you know, draft kind of crazy guru people. That's a nice kid to follow. And I'm your host, Bo Marchand, here in the end zone. We're powered by All Access Football here on the Fantasy Sports Channel. And I want to keep pushing the NFL Draft Bible. We've got the big board up, 2010-2011. Guys, want you to check that out. And also College Football Insiders, if you go on there, you can get a free download to check that out. That's a great piece of college football PDF format for you. And like I said, that's a really nice thing. I want you guys to check that out. And I promise you, live from Minnesota, we have our main man, the fantasy guru, the man who knows it, Kenny Franek. How you doing today, Kenny?
Oh, I'm doing great. The Vikes keep rolling. What's not to be happy about? How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. And then for a few folks who haven't listened with Kenny yet, Kenny is a Minnesota Viking man, season ticket holder, and he obviously is very happy with the way the season's going. No, Kenny, I have this to ask you, though, and any Viking fan or anybody out there, do you think the Vikings would even be better if they had Aaron Rodgers?
They'd be even better? Aaron Rodgers is good, but Brett Favre still got juice in the tank, and Brett Favre with juice in the tank is better than, you know, 85-90% of the quarterbacks in the league. And he's minimizing his interceptions, which in turn, I think it makes him actually a much more appealing quarterback as far as fantasy and just performance-wise. So I think he's actually gotten better. I think he looks better this year than when the Packers made it to the NFC Championship game 2 years ago. You know, obviously they lost to New York, but, I mean, I think he's looking better than that season. So I can't say that Aaron Rodgers would be a better fit for our offense.
Okay. I was curious. Like I said, I mean, so much is made that the Vikings needed a quarterback, and if they got a quarterback, they would be the team to beat. And, you know, it's not like Aaron Rodgers is some just toss-away type guy. I just wanted to get an opinion from a Viking person that, you know, if they could, you know, if they could have a guy like Aaron Rodgers, would they prefer him over a guy like Brett Favre? But we're here to talk fantasy, and you guys in the chat room, if you want to get those questions out here, Kenny Frandick is the man to ask. He knows it, and he will bring it. He'll give you a valued, excellent opinion on any subject fantasy-wise you want to talk with. And, Kenny, I want to get right into it. We have Larry Johnson now at the Cincinnati Bengals. We got Michael Turner, Ronnie Brown. We got a lot of running back issues. Can you start filling in those questions? First of all, Michael Turner, I heard Jarius Norwood may be coming back. Is that a possibility? Is that something that people want to use, or is it going to be Snelling there?
I think Jarius will play, but I don't think he's going to get the majority of touches. I think that's going to go to Snelling. I think they're just going to try to ease Jarius back into the lineup. They're not trying to have him re-aggravate that hip injury. So I think you're going to see a heavy dose of Snelling in this game with, you know, a little spell of Norwood.
Excellent. And, Kenny, we're getting actually a chat room question here. This is from Brewer's Rule, and he's saying that how many times has Favre trailed this year in three games? I'm not sure. He said Baltimore, San Francisco, and Pittsburgh. So I think I don't know if he's saying that's a good thing or a bad thing for Brett Favre. But getting back onto it, and how about Larry Johnson? I mean, I actually talked with Cedric Benson after the game. Sunday, and he seemed like he was pretty optimistic that he would be able to go. He didn't sound very concerned about his injury, but then again, who knows? Larry Johnson, they signed him today. I think, what, primarily as a backup, you think?
Yeah, he's just going to be there for insurance purposes only. I don't think that they're going to, you know, jump him into the lineup and give him a bulk of carries right away. They're going to ease him into the offense first. And then obviously see how Cedric Benson responds to his ankle injury.
And then also, I mean, you have a guy like Jamar Charles. He went over 100 yards. Is he a guy that's probably not? I assume he probably is picked up by many leagues out there. But if he's not, is he a guy that people should look up to grab?
Yeah, if you need help at running back, it's always nice to have a starter who you know is going to get a lot of touches during the game. That's why I always say a starter is usually better than, obviously, a running back by committee, unless it was like an MJD / Fred Taylor a few years back. But, yeah, Jamal Charles is definitely worth a pickup. And after his performance last week, if you're short on running backs, then go ahead and give him a shot and give him the go this week.
Excellent. A guy like Ronnie Brown, are you hearing anything? And is that I would assume if you have Ronnie Brown, you might have Ricky Williams, so there's really not much loss there, is there?
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of people, actually, that don't have the combo package. They just either have Ronnie or Ricky. So Ricky Williams owners are very happy. Ronnie Brown owners are obviously extremely saddened. But they're saying that it was an ankle injury, but now they're thinking that the foot is involved in it too. So, I mean, it's questionable on when he's even going to be back on the field. So it looks like Ricky Williams is going to get all the carries or the whole workload within at least the next 2 weeks.
Excellent. And, Kenny, we're getting a question here from the chat room. Somebody's asking, guest 1989 is asking, he has Brian Westbrook in a PPR league. Can he finally drop this guy?
See, dropping him, I don't know about dropping him, but if there's still like a Jamal Charles, or if you have LeSean McCoy, then go ahead and drop him. But I mean, you never know what's going to happen. He still could come back and produce this season. He's not ruled out the entire year yet. Until that happens, I would still keep him on the bench.
And we have another question from I love when this chat room lights up when you're on, Kenny. I really do. here's a question from another guy, and he's asking, he needs some running back depth, and this is his options. He wants to know if he should pick up Bernard Scott, Justin Forsett, or Jason Snelling.
I like Justin Forsett because he can catch passes out of the backfield, and obviously Julius Jones is hurt, and their next running back in line is Lewis Rankin, who actually showed signs of brilliance there this last week. But I think Justin Forsett's going to get the main bulk of the carries and the touches. So, and he was actually more of a versatile back than Julius Jones, and Julius Jones was heavily involved in the offensive game plan. So I can only imagine Forsett's going to be even that more productive than Julius Jones was. So I'd go with Forsett.
Excellent. You heard it there from Kenny Frenick, our man from Minnesota, the fantasy guru. And, Kenny, we have another question here in the chat room. It says, which two running backs do you like best this week? It's out of Chris Johnson, Steven Jackson, Kevin Smith, or Rashard Mendenhall. If you could use two of them, Kenny, which one are you rolling with?
Well, considering I have both Steven Jackson and Chris Johnson on one of my teams, I'm going to go with those two. Steven Jackson, both of them have cracked over 100 yards the last two or three weeks, and they both scored, you know, plenty of touchdowns for you. Plus, they catch the ball out of the backfield. Both of them lead their teams in receptions. You know, with somebody where the offense runs through them, and that would be Steven Jackson and Chris Johnson, no questions asked. Hello?
I apologize for that. We got our sound cut off there for a minute. And like I said, I think we lost our man Kenny. But we are back, and better than ever, I guess, here in the end zone, powered by All Access Football here on the Fantasy Sports Channel. I'm your host, Beau Marchant. And Kenny was getting to it that our last question was Chris Johnson the best running back in the game? And like I said, we got cut off. And like I said, we're going to be joined now by Justin Van Poolpin, our college football insider. Justin, how you doing?
Good. How's it going, man?
It's going good, man. We actually just got lost our sound or something, so we were kind of out of it there for a few minutes, and then kind of ironically, when I finally got this thing back up, you were calling in, so everything is good, and we're joined with Justin Van Poolpin, our college football insider, and you can check out Justin's work on NFL Next blogspot.com, and there you can find Justin. He's always updating. He has everything college football relating to the draft. If you go there and check out his stuff, he's going to be getting it going for you. And what we're going to be breaking down for you guys today is Justin did his mid-season all-rookie team, and I think this is going to be some fun getting into this. What was your was it just purely on their numbers, Justin? What was the criteria for these guys getting put on the team?
Well, I think, you know, it was on their stats, their performances, and what they did bring to the team. You know, I mean, and obviously we're early into, you know, we're halfway through the NFL season, and some of these guys haven't gotten going until later. Obviously, Josh Freeman's looked well the last couple of weeks here with Tampa Bay. And maybe he'll, when it's all said and done, he'll be the all-rookie, you know, first-team all-rookie quarterback, surpassing both Mark Sanchez and Matthew Stafford. So, you know, there's still a lot of time and a lot of guys. I don't think anybody's really, you know, that far away from, you know, taking the offensive rookie of the year. Maybe Cushing's got the defensive rookie of the year. Brian Cushing from the linebacker from the Houston Texans has maybe got the lock on the defensive, you know, rookie of the year. He's really been impressive. Not both on the field and also as far as when you look at the stats and what kind of numbers he's put up. So definitely a lot of good football players. Your boys out of USC, I was going to put Clay Matthews on there as well just to give your boys USC some love, give four linebackers on there.
You know what, when I saw your list, and when we get to that, you folks listening, Justin has both Ray Maluga and Brian Cushing, both deservedly so on the defensive side of the thing. But let's get into it, and if you folks listen to us enough, you know I'm a big Taylor Mays guy, and we like, I think probably at least every time we talk, Justin, his name comes up one way or another. But your quarterback in the midseason report is none other than Mark Sanchez. Tell us about Mark Sanchez and what he's done so far his rookie season.
Well, you know, I mean, Mark Sanchez started out hot for the New York Jets. I mean, they started off with the world on fire, and everybody thought, you know, was calling him, you know, Sanchez, and, you know, the love there was there. And then he kind of dipped and, you know, he had a rough stretch, came back, and then obviously last week he, you know, kind of came back. He's having up and down, but he's, to me, been the best rookie quarterback that's been out there. Obviously, Josh Freeman started the last two games and played well. Matthew Stafford with some injuries there, you know, hasn't played up to expectations because of the injuries. But I think, you know, we're looking at three really good quarterbacks for, you know, the future. And all of those three cities should be excited. Obviously, the Jets are excited with Mark Sanchez. And right now he's the, you know, first-team all-rookie quarterback.
And a guy like Sanchez, I mean, do you think he has enough? Do you think the Jets are good enough to play at a high level, I mean, for the rest of the season with Sanchez? I mean, you know, like a playoff-type team?
I think a lot of people thought they were a playoff team, you know, but I don't think they are. You know, I think, you know, they did make that acquisition of Braylon Edwards. You know, I think they got a rookie quarterback, and I think it's tough. Obviously, we saw with Joe Flacco and Matt Ryan, those two guys, you know, got their teams in the playoffs and did well. But I think it's tough, and I think, you know, to expect that out of Sanchez. I think the AFC is just tough, you know, a tough division. Obviously, it's a huge game this week, you know, with the New England and the Jets. Obviously, the Jets beat them once already, you know, now try to get them, you know, they're in New England, so we'll see how that plays out. You know, there's an opportunity there, but, you know, what I've seen the last couple weeks, I don't think the Jets are a playoff team.
Well, Excellent. We're speaking with Justin Van Fulpen, our college football insider, discussing the mid-season all-rookie team. No Sean Moreno and Christine Wells are the two running back slots. And Justin, a guy like Moreno, I really thought he would just be tearing up the NFL. Why hasn't he? And will we see that, you know, come, you know, to fruition this season? Him just kind of taking over.
You kind of trailing there, Bo. But I think what I heard is, you know, basically, I think when you think is, like you said, No. Sean Moreno could have, you know, really tear up the NFL. They've allowed him to be that featured running back. You know, I think the biggest thing is he doesn't really, he can make moves. I think sometimes he dances a little bit too much. He needs to be that one-cut guy and really get upfield and take advantage of, you know, the defenses there. And I think when he gets more experience, he'll be able to do that as he, you know, goes along in his NFL career.
And a guy like Beanie Wells, I mean, Tim Hightower's there. He's played really well. I mean, looking at this as the future goes on, I mean, how long is it going to take for Beanie Wells to push Tim Hightower out of the way where he's the sole back, or is that just not going to happen?
Well, I think, you know, we saw last week, you know, he scored 2 touchdowns against Seattle, played well. He just had some fumbling issues, some fumbling problems, you know, to start off the season. I think that's why. I think it took him a while. You know, he's always been that just physically superior, you know, athlete when he was with at Ohio State. And really, you know, he's gotten a taste of, hey, these guys, these defensive players are pretty good, you know, good athletes too. So I think it just took him a while. We saw him kind of a breakout game last week, and I expect that to continue. Hightower, just he's a better receiver than what Beanie Wells is, and that's why I think when it's all said and done, that'll be his role. And obviously, Arizona is kind of making that push, and I think they'll win the NFC West, going away. And, you know, obviously, I think Beanie Wells could do some damage in the playoffs and hope, you know, for Arizona's fans to get back to the Super Bowl where they lost last year to Pittsburgh.
Excellent. And there was a lot of first-round receivers taken this year. We had Darius Hayward Bay, Michael Crabtree, Jeremy Maclin, Hakeem Nicks. But the two guys that you have on the mid-season all-rookie team, and I think deservingly so, is the Pittsburgh Steelers receiver Mike Wallace, who was taken in the third round, and Austin Colley, a fourth-round receiver. Why have these guys had so much more success? Not that the other guys haven't had success. Macklin's played well. Nicks has had his chance. But why have these guys succeeded so much, Colley and Wallace?
Well, I think, you know, it's playing with two of the, you know, top five, you know, quarterbacks there. Obviously, you know, Pittsburgh was looking for a replacement for Nate Washington, who signed with the Tennessee Titans, and he's really, you know, blended in there well. You with that speed, you know, playing in the slot, being able to get downfield, his average is just out, you know, out of this world. And then you've got Austin Colley with the, you know, the loss of Marvin Harrison, the injury to Anthony Gonzalez. You know, he's had to go along with Pierre Garçon and really been that other guy, you know, next to a Reggie Wayne. And obviously with Peyton Manning throwing the football, I mean, that presents some good opportunities for you. And I think he's done a really good job as far as in his route running and understanding what Peyton Manning is going to do with, because that's a very complex offense. I mean, you don't see those you know, young guys, you know, make that big of an impact, you know, as he has. I mean, I think, you know, Anthony Gonzalez is a huge loss. When the Colts get them back, get Anthony Gonzalez back, I mean, watch out. I mean, they've got 4 good receivers to go along with Dallas Clark and a couple good running backs. I mean, obviously, you know, with them being undefeated, this team could even get better. I think that's scary with the AFC.
Excellent. And the tight end position, you went with first-round guy Brandon Pettigrew from the Detroit Lions. Justin, I know, you know, prior to the draft and him, you know, being drafted, you know, he was the all-around tight end. How good is he? Because I know he's not a real big numbers guy. So, I mean, a lot of people like to see those Antonio Gates-type numbers, but they're not going to see that. But tell us what Pettigrew has done to deserve this mid-season report.
Oh, I think the thing is, you know, he's been able to catch the football, and they've given him some opportunities there in Detroit. And obviously he wants to work in that chemistry with Matthew Stafford, but he's also done a good job as far as in his run blocking. And I think that's only going to get better as he kind of, you know, gets mature and kind of knows what he can do. And he's a, you know, big receiver, I think we're going to get some, you know, he's going to put up some bigger numbers. Obviously, like you said, he's an all-around guy, but I think he's going to be a guy who, you know, could be a Pro Bowl type tight end, you know, 2-3 years down the road, because he is, you know, a guy who not only can block but catch, and the Lions are going to look at him and try to feature him more in the offense, which obviously is going to help a young quarterback in Matthew Stafford.
Excellent. And we're speaking with Justin Van Fulpen, our College Football Insider, and we're talking about the all-rookie midseason report team that Justin put out, and you can check out his work on NFL Next blogspot.com, and you can also check out his stuff on the NFL Draft Bible.com. Justin, we're looking at the offensive linemen now. We have Alex Mack, Eric Woods, Matt Unger, Phil Lohart, Andy Livright. Two Bill guys, these two Buffalo Bill guys, is this something to these guys, maybe the Bills fans and faithful should hang their hats on, that this offensive line might be, you know, on the upswing in the future, since it's really not there yet?
Yeah, I mean, obviously with the firing Dick Duran this afternoon, you know, they've got to build on something. And these two young guys really, I think, have stepped in, and they've revamped that whole offensive line, and they've done a pretty good job. I mean, obviously, I think, you know, the quarterback inconsistency, you know, and the defense, you know, not playing up to where I think that Ralph Wilson wanted to do it. That why they made the move here with Dick Duran. You know, T.O. hasn't, you really, you know, emerged, and, you know, obviously maybe he's over the hill and lost a few steps. But I think with this offensive line, and what I think is what's going to happen with Buffalo, is I think they're going to, you know, in that top 10 range when it's all said and done. They might win another one or two games, but they're really looking to the future. You know, with the offensive line, maybe draft a quarterback, a Jimmy Clausen, a Sam Bradford, you know, Jake Locker, whoever kind of emerges there. When it's all said and done, and kind of rebuild this team to kind of get to that, you know, when they went to the four Super Bowls with that really rugged offensive line to play up there in Buffalo, run the football with Marshawn Lynch, and then get a good, you know, solid quarterback there, young guy, who they can build around.
Excellent. And we're speaking with Justin Van Fulpen. And Justin, earlier on the show, we were speaking with Kenny Franek, our fantasy guru man in Minnesota, and we had some technical problems and we lost him, but I'm going to bring him back on the show. And Kenny, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I don't know what happened earlier, Kenny, but obviously the sound went, and we got disconnected for whatever reason. But we're talking with Justin Van Fulpen, and we're talking all rookie team that he broke down, and I'm going to break it down with him, and then you can share your views on it too, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay, excellent. Now, Justin, we're looking at the defensive side of the ball right now, and you have Brian Aracco, Roy Miller, Terrence Knighton, and Michael Johnson, obviously, and then the Redskins, Aracco, Tampa Bay with Miller, the Jags with Knighton, and the Bengals with Michael Johnson. Aracco, is he actually playing defensive line now? Or I thought he was playing outside linebacker, but he's actually D-line right now?
He's been playing, you know, kind of that elephant position in that defense where, you know, he can rush from standing up and playing down at the end. They've really kind of moved him around this season. You're right. He did start up as a linebacker, but they used him more in a defensive end role here these last couple of weeks. So obviously he was a defensive end at Texas, and I think that's when it's all said and done, that's his best position in the NFL.
And, Kenny, for you, I mean, do you do any leagues where you guys use, like, fantasy defensive, like, IDP-type stuff?
I don't. We actually had a vote before the season, and people voted against getting defensive players, but I really wanted to do it because, I just like having more people on a team, but unfortunately we didn't get to vote for it, so no, we don't do that.
Okay. If you would have, Kenny, if you would have took any of these rookie defensive guys, who would you have taken prior to the season? Not now, but who would you have taken back then?
Probably B.J. Raji, just because they're implementing that new defense, and I thought that, you know, maybe he'd be able to step in and contribute right away for it. But obviously, you know, he hasn't made as big of an impact as they'd like him to have. But, you know, before the season started, I thought that he was going to be kind of a bigger-time player than what he has now. But that's who I would have been aiming for a rookie.
Excellent. And, Justin, I think that's a great take of B.J. Raji. Why hasn't he produced, Justin?
Yeah, I think, you know, he just hasn't been able to get into that, you know, 3-4 defense. And, you know, obviously, you know, the Packers have had some, you know, as far as defensive lines that they really like. And Rodgers has kind of been in the mix in the rotation, but he just hasn't been that dominant guy that everybody thought he was going to be, you know, coming out of, you know, Boston College. Now, obviously, he still can. But to me, I thought he is a nose tackle, and when we're talking about nose tackles, he's got to be like a Chris Jenkins type of a guy, you know, who can take on two guys and really occupy that to make a lot of those linebackers to make plays, and that's what that defense is all set up for, is those, you know, for those linebackers to, you know, rush the passer and do different things there, like we saw, you know, Pittsburgh's been so successful over the last couple of years.
Excellent. And looking at the linebacker class, and I think this really turns out to be a really nice linebacker class when you, I mean, at least the way these guys are playing thus far. Ray Maluga, Aaron Curry, and Cushing. And like you said earlier on the show, I mean, Cushing, I mean, he really looks like he's going to lock up the defensive rookie of the year. He's playing outstanding football down there, just making big plays, play one after another. But this linebacker class, I mean, early on, and we're not even getting into all the other guys that, you know, out there, but this could go down as one of the top linebacker classes, at least thus far, right?
Well, I think so, because, I mean, Laurinaitis, you know, it was definitely a guy deserving so. Yeah. So was a guy like, you know, Clay Matthews. So, I mean, like I said, I mean, there's five, you know, five, six linebackers that really could be guys that potentially down the road could be Pro Bowl-type caliber players.
Excellent. And to share a story with you guys, Saturday or Sunday, I was at the Steelers game, and I was talking with Maluga. I was talking with Dehani Jones afterwards, and I asked him about his show, you know, traveling the globe, you know, tackling the globe with Dehani. And I asked him, you know, what he had in store for the next season. He said he was going to bring Ray with him. And Ray was kind of changing. He wasn't paying attention to what we were talking about. And Donnie's like, he goes, Ray, he goes, where are you going to take me? And he's like, huh? He goes, where are you going to take me? And Ray goes, for dinner? But it's so funny. Because he wasn't paying attention. And then he goes, no, man, where are you going to take me if you come on the show? And then Ray obviously said Samoa, because he's, you know, has a tie there. But I thought I'd share that story with you guys. But defensive backs, we got Louis Delmas. We got Jerry Birdwood. He got 8 interceptions in 5 games. This guy's playing outstanding for Buffalo. And Derek Cox, he's a little tackling machine for the Jags. And then Vontae Davis, Illinois product for the Miami Dolphins. Out of all these guys, if you would have, I think Bird and Cox might not have been on that list, probably maybe Delmas and Davis because they're high draft status. Out of those guys, Justin, who were some of the disappointing guys that you thought might be on this list but didn't make it?
I think the, you know, as far as Darius Butler from Connecticut, you know, I thought really he was a guy who we thought, you know, could have been a first-round pick, you know, going into, you know, we were, you know, two weeks prior to that, I mean, everybody thought, hey, he's a guy who's going to go in the first round, and ended up going in the second round, and hasn't performed well, obviously had a big pass interference call, you know, against him, against Austin Collie, another rookie in that New England, you know, Colts game that really proved a huge, you know, play in that game, late in that game, allowed the Colts to come back and win that game. But I think, you know, he's a guy that I really expected to come out and be, you know, make some plays, and, you know, with that secondary being kind of, you know, shaken up and not a lot of consistency there in New England, and he really hasn't done that so far. Obviously, hopefully he can, you know, turn that around and play better and live up to those, you know, expectations of being a second-round pick.
And this question is going to go out to both you guys, Justin and Kenny. Kenny, you can go first, and then Justin. Kenny, who do you, prior to the season, who did you think the rookie of the year was going to be offensively?
Offensively?
Yeah.
I thought Hakeem Nicks was going to be the rookie of the year just because he was coming in and kind of, you know, taking the place, not taking the place of Plax, but, I mean, everyone kind of moved up in the depth chart, which I thought he was going to be obviously solidified number 3 just off principle of everybody moving up. So I thought that he was going to work his way in, and I thought he was going to get a lot of looks in the offense, which he didn't right away in the beginning of the year, but obviously as everyone's watched, come on as of late, and has been really productive for him. And I just liked his size and his athleticism. I know, obviously, we picked Percy Harvin, but To be honest with you, I really wanted us to go for Hakeem Nicks because I thought we needed help at wide receiver. But, you know, unfortunately it didn't go our way, and I'm so happy for Percy because he's just an explosive powerhouse. So, but really I thought Hakeem Nicks was going to take the rookie of the year on offense.
And Justin,
my thought was that, you know, with the explosive offense and passing game that the Arizona Cardinals had, I thought, you know, Beanie Wells was a natural fit there in Arizona. And, hey, you know, being down as low as he was, you know, a steal for the Arizona Cardinals. And he hasn't lived that up until, obviously, this past week there in against Seattle. And hopefully he can continue that. But that was the guy who I thought, hey, this is a slam dunk. I mean, you got Kurt Warner, you know, Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin, Stevie, you know, Breston. You can't bring eight guys in the box, because if not, they'll just audible and go to one of those big time receivers. So they've got to allow seven guys in the box, and that's going to give, you know, Chris Beanie Wells an opportunity to run wild, and he just hasn't done that. Obviously, like I said, he did it last week, but you know, I think he needs to continue to do that for Arizona to have a really shot to get back to the Super Bowl.
Excellent. And we're speaking with Justin Van Poulpen and Kenny Franek here on the End Zone, powered by RSS Football here on the Fantasy Sports Channel. I'm your host, Bo Marchant, and we're just talking a little fantasy football, all rookie report. We got two gentlemen on the lines that know what they're talking about. So you guys in the chat room, feel free to shoot your questions to these guys, and they'll feel free to answer them back to you. And we have a question here, guys, and you guys decide who wants to take it first. Michael Crabtree, what should people, you know, expect from him moving forward for the rest of this season? Kenny, you can go.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I honestly think you can expect big things. Obviously, he didn't take part in any practices preseason. He didn't join the team until recently, and yet he stepped in and kind of seamlessly just flowed right into the mix, and I think he's only going to get better with time. So I think him and his rapport with Alex Smith is only going to get better. Plus, they got Vernon Davis to take some of the attention away from him as well. Plus, they got Frank Gore. So, I mean, they have offensive weapons, so he doesn't need to take all the focus. So I think he's just going to get better with time.
And Justin,
yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you there, Kenny. I mean, I think the thing is, you know, my thought was, hey, this guy, he's, you know, we never got a test on the 40 time. Everybody thought he was probably going to end up running a, you know, a 4.55, 4.6 type 40. And I still think that's where he is, you know, but I think that if you watch the game, you know, obviously this past Thursday against the Chicago Bears, he showed the ability to really be a physical receiver, a guy who could not only, you know, as far as use his body to an advantage, as far as in, you know, create that separation between a defensive back and himself, you know, and doesn't need that speed to do that. He can do it that just as far as with his physicality that he brings, you know, to the game. And hopefully he does get better. I mean, obviously a lot of people were down on him because he held out, because, you know, everybody thought he was, you know, being ridiculous in his demands. And so hopefully for him, his sake, he learns from that, you know, that situation, is able to be that big-time receiver that everybody expected him coming out of Texas Tech.
And we're getting another question here. A guy like Sean Green. Justin, you could take this one first. Sean Green, this season and then moving forward, I mean, does he have the skill set? I know he had a really big game a few weeks back where he went well over 100 yards. I mean, is this guy going to be the mainstay back? Does he have that type of capability to be a really good pro?
Well, I think so. I think he does have the ability to be a real good pro. The thing is he went to a good team in the Jets because I think he needs a complimentary back like a Leon Washington. Obviously, Leon Washington is a free agent. He didn't sign the contract extension that the Jets offered him. And you know, hopefully they can, you know, get him back there, because he needs that guy who can be that speed guy. He's a guy who's going to be between the tackles and, you know, at times can make, you know, big plays, but I think he needs a guy like a, you know, like a Leon Washington to really take the pressure, or, you know, like a Darren Sproles, obviously another free agent, to take the pressure off of him. But I think, you know, coming down, he's going to be the featured back there with the New York Jets, whether it's next season or the season after, because Thomas Jones is getting up there in years.
Excellent. And, Kenny, I'll shoot this one to you, and I personally thought this was going to be the guy. I really thought Donnie Brown was going to be the man this season. But for whatever reason, I know he's been a little banged up, but I thought he was going to take this from Joseph Addai and run with it. That hasn't happened. Do you feel the same way, and what's your, you know, thoughts on Donnie Brown?
Oh, I love Donald Brown. I was with you. I thought he was going to end up stealing a job from Adai as well. And, you know, in the beginning of the season, it looked like he was going to do just that. I mean, he was eating into Adai's carries. He was doing more with the touches that he was getting than Adai was. And he was running with more power and elusiveness than Adai was. So I didn't see a reason why he wasn't going to take over that starting role. Then he got hurt, re-aggravated that shoulder injury that caused him problems in college. But besides the injury, I mean, this guy's got a great future. You see his speed and his explosiveness. He has great ability to read holes, which I think is what Joseph Adai is really lacking. I think he's too quick to hit holes, and that's why he gets tackled after, you know, 2.5, 3-yard carry. Unlike Donald Brown, who's more patient and he waits for his holes to open and then he bursts through them. So I think Donald Brown has definitely got a bright future in the NFL.
Excellent. Well, we're getting a question here, guys, and, you know, and it's a really good question. Johnny Knox, Kenny Britt, we have, I mean, it's kind of referencing to all the talent of this wide receiver class. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, Piercy Harvin, Britt, Nix, Crabtree, Wallace, Hayward Bay, if it, you know, granted he's in Oakland, so I don't know if anyone can be productive there. But, I mean, looking right now moving forward, I mean, is this a class that might go down as one of the top receiving classes, like back in, what is it, 96 with Owens and Keyshawn and Marvin Harrison? Go ahead. Kenny, you can
go
first.
Go ahead, Kenny.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, you got speed, you got size, you got power, athleticism. Basically, you know, I keyed in on Hakeem Nicks and how, you know, he's elusive and can go get the ball. He touched base on Michael Crabtree and how he is just, I mean, he swarms to the ball, and he's a big physical receiver. Then you got speedsters like Mike Wallace and Hayward Bay, who obviously Hayward Bay hasn't panned out because he's got Jamarcus trying to throw him the ball. But we all know anyone who goes to Oakland is going to die there if they stay. But, yeah, I don't see why it can't be. I mean, obviously we didn't see anybody break out for, you know, maybe a 1,400-yard season this year, but – I mean, definitely you saw the potential in this class. And as, you know, time goes on, I think people are going to look back on it and obviously compare it to the class you just mentioned with Marvin and T.O. and Keyshawn. I mean, I think it would be a great comparison.
Excellent.
Well, I think it could be a great comparison, but I think the thing is maybe these guys are more complementary type receivers, where we saw a Keyshawn, a T.O., a Marvin Harrison, real beat, you know, Hall of Fame type receivers. I think these guys can be very good. I don't know if they're going to be to that level.
Excellent. And we got 1 minute remaining. Justin, I'm going to have you go first. But like I said, we got about a minute left. This is the question I'm going to pose to you guys. Pick one guy out of the whole entire rookie draft. If you were making a franchise right now, who would you take from this rookie class? Justin, you go first. Kenny, you answer after. We got about a minute left.
I'm going to go with what the Detroit Lions did, and Matthew Stafford. I haven't seen any reason why he's not going to be a franchise quarterback, can't be to the level of a Troy Aikman or a Peyton Manning. So I still like what the Lions did with Matthew Stafford, and I'm going to back their play.
Excellent. And Kenny?
I mean, I know there's some bias behind this, but you got to go with Percy Harvin. With a hybrid player like that, who can punt return, kick return, play in the slot, play a flanker if you need him to play a flanker like Devin Hester. I mean, he can play just about any position you want him to play, and he learned the playbook really quick. I mean, he had to learn more plays than anyone else on the offensive side of the ball, yet he was able to fit right in and then be productive right away. So, yeah, I'm saying Percy Harvin.
Excellent. Thank you, guys. I want to thank you for joining us here on the End Zone, powered by All Access Football on the Fantasy Sports Channel. Thank you, Justin, and thank you, Kenny. I'm your host, Bo Marchant. Have a great week, guys.